Well, I guess it always makes for an interesting and scary story when we see the pictures on the news of animals that have been smuggled into Australia, and we hear from Border Force about the, you know, various snakes and spiders and reptiles that have been, well, caught, I suppose, and a lot of them expire on the trip, that's for sure. The illegal trade in wildlife is a multi-billion dollar industry, $30 billion pretty much, and that's to be precise. It's the fourth most lucrative illegal industry after drugs, arms and human trafficking. How much of it is coming to Australia, I wonder? Well, Dr. Phil Casey is an Associate Professor in Invasion Biogeography and Biosecurity from the University of Adelaide, and he joins us to give us a bit of an update on who's coming and how. And we welcome you to the program, Phil.
Good morning, Wendy. Thank you.
Thanks for coming along. Now, tell me this latest haul from Customs. Do you reckon that's just the tip of the iceberg? How much of the stuff that's coming through do you think that we're actually detecting?
Well, the first thing you have to realise is that we're very lucky in Australia. So we do have a reputation for a very strong border force, and that is rightly deserved. So our biosecurity agents work extremely hard around the nation, and so it's unlikely that it's a tip of an iceberg. There is certainly always going to be packages that are coming in undetected. I mean, that's just a fact of life. We don't have a complete surveillance, so it's a risk-based surveillance. As you'd know, coming in and out of an airport, you don't always get stopped. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. They're working on limited resources. So there is always going to be packages that come through, but the majority is actually probably likely to be stopped.
Oh, well, that's good. I guess being an island is helpful in this instance.
Helps enormously, yeah. We've got this very strong border. I mean, a biogeographic border, so it's much easier to monitor than some other places. And we have very strict laws about the transiting of wildlife as well.
And what sort of species are we seeing coming in, Phil?
So that's the alarming thing. You know, we have this reputation in Australia for being incredibly dangerous. My two young children watch the Deadly 60, and you're always getting Australian species appearing. We have this notion that Australia has the most dangerous species in the world, and we do have some highly venomous snakes and some dangerous invertebrates, some spiders, etc. But the species that are coming in, if they were to establish, would raise our profile enormously. We're getting, you know, pit vipers and species that are incredibly venomous and dangerous. Why is anyone transiting these species? I mean, it's just insane.
Tell me about the pit viper. Where does it come from, and what's its modus operandi?
Well, there's a couple of different species. So we're getting species that are coming in from Africa and from East Asia. They've got these incredibly large rear-facing fangs. There are species that can't retract them, so they're going to just pump venom into you as soon as they bite and break the skin. We're also getting a larger number of boa constrictors appearing at large. So there's been a number of sightings and captures of these species that grow to enormous lengths. That people, when they first have them as pets, they don't realise how long they're going to live and how big they're going to get. And we've seen them take over environments in other places. I lived in the Florida Everglades for a while, where they're just causing a catastrophic decline of wildlife across the whole environment because people have had them as pets and then released them when they were getting too large.
So tell me how easy it would be for them to establish in Australia, Phil. Do we know if the conditions suit them?
So for a lot of these species, the conditions do suit. It's a Russian roulette. So a single individual is going to be very unlikely to establish. But the more of these that we're seeing in the wild, the more times we roll the dice, the more likely it is that eventually a population is going to start breeding. And it's that matter of containment. If you get to it very quickly, then generally these species can be removed. But as soon as they're established, we have an incredibly poor track record around the world of removing invasive reptiles. So we've become quite good at removing mammal species, pest mammals, particularly off islands, the rabbits, the cats, the rats, the goats, the pigs that have been established for a long time. We're getting better and better at removing off islands. We've never eradicated an invasive snake species. And that's not because there aren't populations out there causing catastrophic damage. It's that we currently don't have the tools for doing it. So it's an incredibly important job that the biosecurity agencies are conducting by preventing them from getting across the border. And when they do appear in the large, getting to them very quickly. And that's where the public can come in as well. Having an understanding of what is native, what is invasive, and being able to recognise those species is incredibly important for these reptiles.
You said you'd seen some pythons on the loose, but you just mentioned there is an established invasive snake species in Australia. I did not know that. Where are they? What are they?
Not in Australia.
Oh, sorry.
Those are other places in the world. Yeah.
Great.
No. No. In Australia, we've been. We've been very lucky up to date.
I see what you mean. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Now, I imagine not only would you not like to encounter a pit viper if you were a human, but if you were a native animal, you wouldn't like... or a snake?
No, they're very, very effective. I mean, snakes are incredibly effective predators. And yes, as a small marsupial... A native mammal or reptile. I would hate to encounter one of those.
Yeah.
As a human, I wouldn't like to either.
Yeah. Are you up on the other creatures that are on the move here that were picked up at the airport the other day, Phil, in Melbourne? On tarantulas, do you know any invasive species of insects and spiders and so forth?
So there's lots. Insects. Are a huge invasive problem globally, and yes, there's a number of species and populations of invasive spiders around the world. These big ones, they're generally transported in very low numbers, single individuals.
These big tarantulas,
But it's a strange and increasing trade in these large insect species as well. So it's not surprising that we're starting to see them being imported into Australia. It's just great that they are being stopped and detected.
Yeah, and from what I understand too, the global trade threatens the species themselves. They're becoming quite scarce in some parts of the world, these big spiders, big tarantulas.
Yes, and I mean, it's not all coming into Australia either. We are seeing Australian species appearing on other markets around the world. So there is transport out of Australia, which is the other side of the ledger and something that we have to be more aware and concerned about. I mean, where is our native wildlife going and how is it getting out of the country?
Yeah. Can you tell me the kind of Australian snakes that are turning
up?
One
species that we've been watching an increasing number of, it's not a snake, but it's the large skink, the shingleback or the sleepy lizard, is appearing a lot in Southeast Asian markets. These are clearly not just being bred from captivity. They are coming out of Australia, and at this stage we don't know where or how and in what number, but there's an increasing trade in these species. And because Australia has such a unique endemic reptile fauna, so species that are only found in Australia, they're very attractive.
Yeah,
so
those beautiful thorny devils and our water dragons.
Absolutely, yes. These are all species that are going to be highly desirable. And traditionally, Australia has had a very tight border, and so it's not easy to get species out, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned both ways, the additions and the losses.
All right. Well, that all sounds very interesting, Phil. But you feel, that maybe if we're on top of it now, but we've just got to be more and more vigilant. Is that the message?
It's just one of these areas that we can always improve. We should never become complacent. And we should, as individuals, I know it's hard when we're travelling, but appreciate the efforts of our biosecurity agencies. We often come through airports when we're either in a hurry or very tired, but they are doing a very important and fantastic job.
Okay, so if they say open your bag, madam, do it.
Let them do it. That's right.
All right, good-o, thanks. I appreciate your time. Thank you, Phil. Phil Cassie is the name there. Phil Cassie, he's an associate professor in invasion biogeography and biosecurity. He's with the University of Adelaide.